everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 278 for Thursday, March 10th. We're back to doing it on Thursday. We are back in our respective homes. How goes it? I'm Phil Nickinson. This is the Android Central Podcast. It is good to be home. It is good to be back. This is our first... Russell, did we figure it right? This is our first like proper show from where we're supposed to be in about a month.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Maybe... Let's see. Oh, that's right. Because we had Dan Bader on for that weird like two-parter we did. So yeah, it's been darn close to a month.
Yeah, we did our special edition GS7 one. I don't think I've been on a regular podcast since we recorded our special edition little insert.
That is Andrew Marnick, everybody. Jerry Hildenbrand is here too.
I'm here.
It's been a weird 3 weeks because like 3-4 weeks ago, Andrew and I got together for a couple days to see the GS7 for the first time. The next week, we were all in Barcelona for Mobile World Congress. And if you haven't listened to that podcast, I tell you guys, that was a 2-hour podcast we did.
I thought you were going to call it a marathon podcast because that's what it was. It was one of our longer ones, even by show standards.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, we got emails from people thanking us for doing it that long and going on that much. I mean, that never happens. And second, getting an email from somebody saying something nice. It's few and far between.
But that's the thing. Even covered Windows stuff at that time. And I guarantee you, if we didn't cover Windows stuff for a half hour, we would have filled it with another half hour of Android stuff, too. We could have gone on forever.
That's why I like those shows. I like being able to hear what's going on with them, and especially because we got to see some of the stuff. So that was really cool. If you haven't listened to that show, carve out 2 hours, get a babysitter, go do it. Highly recommend it. And then we had... Last week, we were all together for like an all-hands retreat. We had the entire company together, which is the first time we've ever done that. And I've met, you know, a lot of the people we work with, and obviously everybody we work with here at AC. But we've got a lot of new people. You know, we've got this newsroom that helps write for all the sites. We've got another dedicated, you know, sort of help desk that's writing content up in Winnipeg. And so it was really cool to meet all those guys and girls. So I liked it. I had fun. Jerry, did you have fun?
I think I had fun. What I can remember was fun.
I was going to say, I was there. Jerry had fun.
Yes, he did.
I also had fun. So,
if you haven't seen it, go watch our Galaxy S7 Fireside Chat. Oh, and that reminds me, I still got a little something from Jerry and Russell we got to work up.
Oh, that's right.
I foggily remember
parts of that.
So, welcome back to a normal Android Central podcast. I'm glad to be here. I hope you guys are. Yeah, a little thing called Android N just dropped, by the way. Ooh.
Well, that was perfect timing.
So we step on a duck?
That was it dropping right there.
It was like a little
Android N. So this was kind of very surprising to pretty much everybody out there. We got it a good month and a half before the Google I.O. Developer Conference, which is where the past couple of years we've gotten these developer releases. Jerry, let's start at the very beginning. We're all very excited. It's a new version of Android, but back up and help explain a little bit what a developer release is.
This is entirely built for the people that write the apps that we all love. If their apps are going to be ready when phones actually get this new version of the software, they need to look at it ahead of time. There's a lot of bugs in here and a lot of things, you know, aren't working as intended, but this is a good look at the base of the system with the APIs that developers can tap into for their new apps. This is the way Apple does things. This is the way Google's done things the past few years. Microsoft has a beta program. You need this if you want the developers to stay up to speed.
And of course, we like to look at just the visual things that change because that's what we can immediately see is different. But this is just they could have changed nothing visually and said this is just a vehicle for the APIs, which was very much like the first Marshmallow build that we had gotten. Like that was basically nothing had changed visually, but they said, look at all these hundreds of new APIs that are here under the scenes that you can build against.
It's fun for us to mess with too, though. I'm not even going to lie.
Oh, it's definitely fun, even if it's not the point of it. It's definitely fun for us to see.
There are some pretty major caveats to all this, though, right?
Yeah, this may not be anything at all like what we actually get at the end of summer or whenever we're going to get it. it's a work in progress. Google may change things. They may even add things. I want to think that the feature set's kind of been locked in stone because you don't want to give developers something that they can't use and that they won't use, or spring something on them at the last minute. But that doesn't mean it'll be functional and operational in the final version of Android N. This is Google's vision, and they will have to adjust. We expect to see changes.
And you're going to see at, you know, at I/O, they're going to come up and say, you know, here are the tentpole like consumer facing features that we want to talk about here as well. You know, we're not going to see a lot of that just yet. I mean, we're seeing, you know, little flare here and there, but they're going to talk about what Android N means when it comes out on a phone for real later in the year.
Right. And we're seeing this is what the possibilities are, but we haven't yet seen how the people that write apps for Google that are make up a big part of our phone. Your phone kind of stinks without all the Google apps in it. They have to leverage these APIs and build new versions of their stuff. So we've got a lot more yet to see.
And they're going to be the first examples of all this stuff. I mean, we talk about giving developers all this extra time ahead of time, which is awesome. It doesn't mean, I mean, you can give them as many months heads up as you want. That doesn't mean that the minute that it's out publicly that you're going to have all these apps that are ready to go with it. Just you can give them the tools, but you can't force them to update their apps.
Right.
But Google's apps are usually good. You know, they're going to pick ones that are the best experiences.
Except Google Play Music, because, I mean, it took them forever.
Yeah.
Well, no, it took them forever to catch up to some of the changes in Marshmallow.
That's true.
I'm sure they have reasons. But
so, Russell, they're doing things a little differently this time around, right?
They're doing a couple things differently. The first is they're making it a little easier for people to get it on their phones. I don't mean people who aren't developers either. I mean, it's easier for developers to get it on their phones. They can sign up on a website and select their phone, and from what we've seen, within minutes, there's an open, you know, over-the-air update available for the phone, and when you go through the installation process, you are on the Android N developer preview. It's actually really impressive how well that works.
It was stupidly easy. It's really good, yeah.
I wish it were harder.
Well, all right, before we get to that, the devices that are eligible for the N preview are the Nexus 6, the Nexus 9, the Nexus 5X, the Nexus 6P, the Nexus Player, and the Pixel C. And ooh, they just added, I don't think that was there yesterday, the General Mobile 4G for Android One.
I was just
going to say,
we were waiting
for that to happen.
Android One's coming too. We know that. So that's cool.
I'm going to throw that to our handy dandy newsroom. Now eligible.
Yeah, Jerry was already talking about that last night, just waiting for the other shoe to drop there.
Yeah, sure.
Which is cool, because, I mean, that covers, you know, pretty much the entire spectrum as far as Google is concerned, and adding Android One means that these kind of lower target devices are getting hit as well, which is supposed to be a big part of N, is, you know, more support for those kind of low-end experiences, making them feel more premium as you go in and use them, which is cool.
So here's the big question. Say you have one of these devices, again, Nexus 6, Nexus 9, 5X, 6P, Nexus Player, Pixel C, and this General Mobile 4G Android One. Should you be considering the Android N beta? It's new code. It's a new OS. It's very exciting. Should anyone in their right mind consider flashing this to their device? Jerry,
no.
Why should you do it?
Why should I do it?
Yes, because of the reasons for.
You're excited about what new features are coming, and you
have a second phone to put it on.
Yeah, you want to evaluate what the future is going to bring. I mean, we all like to get a little sneak peek at what next cool thing is coming. But really, Andrew nailed it. Mostly, you want to do it because you have a second Nexus phone, and you don't have to count on, you know, if you're stuck alongside the road in a snowstorm and you need to call somebody. You don't have to worry about that kind of stuff, which is probably why you shouldn't do it. And I really screwed
up. I was
going
to say, yeah, I mean, it's
something fun to play, you know, play with mm-hmm. when you're sitting on the couch and you got nothing else to do. And, you know, you load it up on your old Nexus 6, like I did. I didn't put on my 6P or my 5X that I, you know, plan on potentially using even. You load it up and you say, oh, that's cool. I'm going to play around with it. And then when the next update comes, you can look at that one and say, oh, well, this is things have changed a little more. And you just feel like you're on the inside a little bit. But don't expect to use it.
I tell you, it has breathed new life into the 5X. It's only been a day and a half, but how much better does this thing run than it did 2 days ago?
I've only had to reboot it once.
It's also important to remember that, like, right before that happened, we got the monthly security update for all of the phones, and that included some performance updates for the 5X.
Which I just downloaded earlier today, and I'm excited to try it.
There's another build for the 6P that has further enhancements that's posted. I don't know when to expect an OTA, but there's a new image that went up yesterday.
So there's exciting stuff happening on the actual, you know, current release build of Android as well. You don't have to feel like you need to hunt after this
this preview. It's important. Not only do we have to wait, possibly everybody says August, until we actually see this for the phones we have now that are going to get it, but there are phones out there who are going to stay stuck on Android 6 forever. Let's not beat around the bush. There's a big difference between an update and an upgrade, and a lot of phones will never be upgraded, so let's make sure that Android 6 works really well for those phones.
Well, and we have to talk about, you know, what happens when N comes to your Galaxy S7 in 14 months or whatever.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's not going to look like any, even if this was set in stone, what we see now, which is not, what you see is not going to look like that anyway.
Yeah. So we've laid the underpinnings. This is what the end preview is. This is who it's for and who it's not for. And frankly, it's not for most of us. I mean, I'm playing around with it too, just to play around with it, but I would never in a million years, you know, make this my only device yet. A couple other things, they have actually given us more of a roadmap this time. And last year they said, you know, you're going to get a few updates. This time they said 5 updates before the eventual launch in Q3.
One per month.
Yeah, basically one per month, which is, I think that's about how they did it last year.
Yeah, right around that.
Yeah, we just started later.
Yeah, yeah, we certainly started later. So let's get into it and talk about exactly what it is we see in this preview. And I think I saw people saying initially that it's a minor update, but I think
no,
they say that every time. This is not a minor update, boys and girls.
I mean, so I think off the top, we had such a long build up to it that boom, multi-window is here for real, and it works.
Now, multi-window, if you don't know what it is, it's so you can run apps side by side. Works on tablets as well, you know. It was in the very first developer preview for M almost a year ago, and then it disappeared. Kind of, yeah. You had to
hack some stuff. Say something, Russell.
It is the most amazing thing to happen to the Pixel C.
Oh,
I love it.
That's exactly what we were asking for, and that's exactly what I was rubbing everybody's face in with the Galaxy Tab S2, because it just did it when the Pixel C came out, and the Pixel C couldn't.
It just works so well.
Russell, if you had had that last week, I would have made fun of you slightly less.
You're going to make fun of me no matter what, so I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, so it was in the M preview, but like buried, and you had to hack it. Everybody figured it would be in the Pixel C at launch back in late October. No, it was October. Or November. Just because of the aspect ratio of the thing. Remember, that tablet is 1 to the square root of 2.
One by the square root of two,
or the same as a sheet of paper. So, like, if you fold it in half, or like if you were using multi-window, it's the same aspect ratio on either side.
But so I mean, it works on phones as well. So, yeah. Like, you know, on the Nexus 6, which is a gigantic screen, obviously, you could just put it top and bottom.
Stop.
What, Jerry? What?
What?
They should have never put that on a phone.
Why?
Because I don't like it, and I'm the only one that matters.
They've been doing it on Note phone. Well, here's the thing, though. They've been doing it on Samsung's Note phones, have done it. And sure, I don't actually use it that often. I mean, I just haven't built it into my daily routine to use multi-window. But the interesting thing is that this works eerily similar to the way that the Samsung one does, in that you launch your multitasking and you just grab... You long press on one of the apps, pull it up to the top, and then you get the rest of your multitasking window to be able to pull up a second one.
Remember, it just looks similar. It's completely different.
Apps that are written... The cool thing about this is that this is just working. In Samsung's way, obviously, it had to be written specifically to work for multi-window, and like our Android Central app works in multi-window on Samsung phones.
Does it work on this one? I haven't tried yet.
I don't know. Well, you know, this is Pocket Cast and Google Maps or, you know, whatever. I'm just pulling up random apps. But the cool thing is, I mean, Jerry and there can be more can be said about this, but apps are just, Android apps are designed to scale and change to different screen sizes. So there's some kind of voodoo here where it's just saying, I mean, of course, I don't know exactly how it's being done, but it's just saying, okay, now we have two smaller, basically square screens. Here you go.
I want to talk about the implementation real quick because, yeah, Samsung's been doing it for a while. I've had it on the Note 5. I've got it on the GS7 now. And Samsung, I hold my phone in my left hand, so I always end up dragging down from the top left corner. Which,
well, so that's a little different because that's their right. pop-out window where it's a floating window on top of other windows, which is even more ridiculous.
Right.
That's even a little more useful in a tablet environment. But this is just side by side with a bar in the middle that you can grab and move between. I mean, a lot like the way Windows has done it with its with Snap Windows.
Here it is in my 5X. And yes, the Android Central app works. What? And ooh, look at that beautiful search button in the Android Central app. You can't see it. There it is. Wow.
So, but back to, I mean, Russell had a conniption over this because he said, the Pixel C like needs it. Like really, really bad. You don't really care about using this on a 5X, but this makes the Pixel C useful, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of things that the Pixel C does well that I like for, you know, just kind of basic data input stuff that is no different than any other tablet that I've used. But just the screen size, the aspect ratio, using two apps side by side, you know, I don't feel like I'm missing anything. I don't feel like it's cropping out things unnecessarily. The apps still feel nice and big on the screen. It is just way better to use in this format. And they've done some clever things with like copy and paste code. You know, like when you want to copy and paste something from one side to the other, you can actually just press and hold somewhere and drag it across the screen, and that text will follow you until it goes to the other app, which is visually very nice.
How do you turn it on the first place, though?
You just you hit the multi-text button and you take whatever app you want and you drag it to either the left or the right, and you'll see that little white space where you can release it, and then it just snaps to that half of the screen.
Or up and down if you're
If you're using a phone or some kind of savage.
That multi-tab, the recent apps button is what it really is, right? But it does a lot more, and I think Alex did the post on it. Like if you just keep hitting the multitasking with the recent apps button, it will cycle through all your apps that you have open there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so a double tap on recents just sends it back to the previous app. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's always been so much potential in the recent apps menu, other than just having this scrolling list of cards, which not that useful. I mean, as soon as you get four or five cards back in that interface, it would have been faster to just hit the app launcher and launch the app that you wanted. But this way you're using, it's really about those first two or three apps in that menu where you can switch between them quickly, pull up multi-windows, things like that.
I'm excited. If it comes natively to Android, there are ways for developers to handle bugs. Samsung had, you know, you build with their SDK. It worked pretty well. Of course, everybody has hacked in a way so you can run any app in split window. But the problem there is when it fails, you're stuck. It just fails.
Right. And I mean, even just playing with this for a couple of minutes, I already like the implementation here better. And I hope that it gets implemented well on other phones as well.
Anything else with the multitasking or with the multi-window?
Why not four windows?
Stuff is super broken.
Yeah.
With two, that would be what I would say. And even then, like one of the really cool things was that it fixed in some apps the way that you launch an app and it just forces it portrait. It makes me want to hurl something out the window. You get that a lot less with this, but it's so broken with a lot of other things like Instagram. You try and load Instagram and it'll do the forced portrait thing, and then you try to snap it into its own app and it just crashes everything, and Instagram just takes over the whole screen. Just like, you know, who I am? Like, Instagram just takes over everything.
I can already tell that Instagram doesn't like to play well with this multi-window very well. It tries to force it. But
pretty bad.
With Android N, Instagram will have a way to handle those kind of errors at the OS level.
Which is very cool.
You know, if they do it or not remains to be seen, because they could have done it now for Samsung devices and they didn't.
Well, if there's one thing I know about Facebook is that they absolutely love their users and they'll do anything to make the experience better. So I'm sure that that will totally happen as soon as N is available.
Stop. I want to talk about something Jerry worked pretty hard on. And that is, and we've talked a lot about monthly, you know, security updates and how Nexus does it really well and everybody else is kind of meh and some just suck. And how what it really is going to take is Google to split things off so that it can update things without screwing with the manufacturer customizations, and manufacturers can do their thing without screwing with Google as much. And Jerry, it kind of looks like maybe that's the direction we're heading here.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of having a separate partition, this is going to get a little nerdy and I apologize in advance, but it has to be. The idea of having a separate partition that could hold things outside of the operating system came with KitKat or Lollipops. It's been around a while. It just wasn't used. I mean, you grab a random phone and look at it, that's where the carrier puts their ringtones. It just wasn't being utilized. With this, there are actual, I mean, the IMS application that handles like SIP calling and call initiation, that's in the vendor profile or the vendor partition. That means that LG can take and work with Google to make sure that the phone stack works perfect for the 5X. Put that in there, and it will replace the stock app without replacing it. It'll just, the new one is what it's going to get loaded when you reboot your phone. And it doesn't have to touch any of the deep stuff. That's the biggest boon for the people making these phones ever. And it's something that a lot of us nerds have been talking about for 2 years. This is what Google needs to do. And it looks like they're moving there. There's actual progress to where Samsung, and I always pick on Samsung because they're big. They've got the money. This is who I expect to see it from first. Samsung can write a TouchWiz that instead of having to go and pull the Android framework source code, tear that all apart, start over from scratch, write it so it works better with their operating system, they can write a set of boilerplate code that taps in to the framework APIs, and they can make it do the things that they're doing now without having to touch the core of Android, which means that Google can update that when it needs updated without Samsung having to do any extra work. That's important.
So I think that's extremely important. I think my question is, I mean, I think Samsung is a perfect example because they're huge and everybody talks about them. They can do it this way. Will they do it this way?
Not right now.
Because the way that they're working, they have their own complete repository of how, right, of Marshmallow, including all their features that they're working off that base. You know, they're not starting fresh every single release. They're starting with their base and adding in the changes when they come from Google and then, you know, working them all into their new base and then going from there.
And it's going to be difficult and expensive to move away from that.
Yeah.
In the long run, this is good for Samsung. And I'm sure. And first off, if I'm right, we got to remember that this is 50% nerd speculation and 50% common sense.
But yeah, I mean, it very much makes sense, and it's what we've been talking about for a while.
Right.
And because we've been talking about it, I expect Google to do it.
So let's contrast the Samsung perspective.
Like, yes, I'm marching on.
So let's contrast that with the Samsung. Of course, the Samsung perspective, they're not just going to jump on that right away. But what about a smaller manufacturer?
Bingo.
If you look at like maybe somebody like Blue or something, they're going to be able to just do their own, you know, where they don't have this huge entrenched code base of all these customizations and things. They can just take this and it's easier for them to integrate the little things they want to change. Sure. Right.
And then when it's time, stage fright is a great example. I'm sure every phone manufacturer out there has pulled their hair out for months. How are we going to get these changes merged in and fix all this stuff? The system that I'm seeing, they don't have to anymore. They will build a front end that uses the stage fright engine and let Google worry about keeping the stage fright engine updated. Which
they would prefer that if that was the case anyway.
If I were building phones, I would. I've been writing code for a long time, and it's Maybe it's lazy, but the best way to write code is to have somebody else do the hard work.
Let somebody else do it.
And I think the important thing that you raised in that great post was it lets them drop the responsibility in terms of the eyes of the public as well, because they can say that's not our fault anymore, or that's not our thing to fix. We're happy to let Google handle it, and then point you to this thing where Google says it's handling it.
That's the way it should be. I know I've heard from a couple different people with international unlocked Galaxy S6s that they got Android 6.0.1 today. Okay, the only reason that the Galaxy Mega 6.3 hasn't gotten that is because it's so doggone expensive and takes so much time for Samsung to do it. That's why. We get Google to do 50% of the heavy lifting. That helps.
I'm excited for that, I think. Yep. But I think Jerry's right. We need to temper that with, holy crap, this is a big deal. Or like it's going to be a big change.
Right. This doesn't mean immediately that the next version of, Galaxy S8 or whatever is just going to automatically have this, and you're going to see updates every month. And
and I tell you, that's one of the worries with all this preview stuff is, like, the Note, what are we up to? The Note 6, in the fall, whatever that release is.
They're already working on that, man.
Sure. So. Absolutely. But, that will almost certainly not have anything that we're talking about today.
No, that's going to have the same software as the S7 with the Note extras added in. And it should.
Yeah.
You do not want Samsung to release a phone that they're working and finalizing right now with this developer preview that just dropped, because you'll hate it.
Yeah, exactly. Oi. Yeah. What do you guys want to do? You want to talk some more or take a break, or what do you want to do? What do you want to do?
I will follow you into the desert with no water, Phil.
All right, I tell you what. I think maybe we should probably take a little break, because I don't want to, I want to get out of this section and not stop at the next one. How about that? There's a ton to do. What do we want to tackle next? We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk. Pick one, Jerry. Pick one.
I hate it when you put me on the spot. Nexus 5 for a minute.
Nexus, like the phone itself?
Yes, and why it may not be there.
Okay, so we're going to talk some Nexus 5 and why you guys might be left out in the cold. All right, folks, here is what's up. If you have to shave, if you have to shave anything, if you have to shave your face, your head, anything else, let's not get too personal. You need to check out Harry's.com. And more important, use the promo code AC to save $5 off your first purchase. But here is why. Harry's is pretty much the easiest way you can shave ever. And it starts with ordering. You order online, easy to use website, ship straight to your door. You don't have to go to the drugstore. You don't have to worry about somebody unlocking those plastic things because apparently you might steal stuff. It comes straight to you. It gets no easier than that. Here's why you want Harry's. They make their own blades from their own factory, from Germany, so you know it's good. Everything's better in Germany, right? You can get everything for a fraction of the cost of the big brands. $15 gets you a razor, moisturizing shave cream and gel, 3 razor blades. When you need more, they're $2 or less. An 8-pack is just $15. 16-pack is just $25. If you're like me and you don't shave every day, say you have a beard, you just need to do a little cleanup, it makes even more sense. So with Harry's, you get the convenience and ease of ordering online. You get high-quality blades. You get a great handle and shaving cream. I love the cream, actually. It's really, really good. Again, 3 blades, shaving cream, $15 right to you. And you can save $5 off your first purchase with promo code AC. That's HARRYS.com. Do it. I love that Jerry has to sit through ads now.
I'm good.
You guys at home can't see his face, but he's just smiling away. It's a great, great look on him.
The music. All right. This is so funky. I love it.
Nexus 5. You don't think it's going to get in?
I'm not going to say it's not going to get in. I do happen to know that that is under consideration right now. I just want to comment real quick on why we're not seeing it in this developer preview. And it's simply a fact because it's old. Not that it's not capable, and if you have a Nexus 5, I will tell you it's called XDA.com. Right. If it's not there now, by tomorrow there will be a Android N build you can flash on your phone.
And I mean, this is every single year. The Nexus 4, we all wanted it to be updated. But, well, a lot of people did.
I missed that phone.
So the Nexus 4, it couldn't handle Lollipop properly.
Yes, it could.
No, it couldn't. As soon as you installed 5 apps, it was toast. So.
That's right. We got a chance to play with Nexus, that, didn't we?
Yeah, the Nexus 5 absolutely runs really, really well. And if you bought, you know, if you buy a new one that doesn't have a toast battery because you just completely ran it into the ground over the last 3 years, that's one thing, but or 2 years. But it doesn't, I mean, it runs so great now. And if it's under consideration and you don't think that they're going to put in the proper time to make it run right on N, why do you even want it?
It also is a really nice feel when you hold it in your hand and the grip on the back is really nice. It's like perfect for throwing right into the dumpster.
Oh, man. How do you not like the Nexus 5?
I've never liked the Nexus 5. I have hated it from the day it was released. I have never liked it.
I still use it now
here and there.
I can't stand it.
Everybody that's listening and not watching, I want you all to know that's Russell saying that. There's nobody else.
AndroidCentral.com. Please fill my inbox with why I'm wrong. I need a laugh.
The thing is if they allocate resources to building a developer preview from the Nexus 5, that's taking away time from people who are working with more current phones. And that's not how you go forward. When they've got it on a lock where this is our feature set, these are our APIs, now let's clean it up a little, and they pull a few people to let's bootstrap this back to the Nexus 5, that's a good way to do that. So don't. I just hate seeing people on the internet grumble, grumble, grumble. This is what I want. Blah, 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 blah. That doesn't help anything.
Well, also, well, then, it's the first developer preview.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just because the developer preview is not available for it now doesn't mean they couldn't have the final release, yep. But temper your expectations a little bit.
I think the Nexus 7 2013 is officially dead. I don't think that anybody's even considering doing anything with that. That was a great tablet, but it's, you know, 2013, guys.
And it was like July 2013. It's going to be well over. I mean, it's going to be 3.5 years before it would ever see an update anyway.
But seriously, throw your 5X away. Or throw your 5 away. The 5X is $199 now. There's no reason. Move on.
Except for the 5 is faster, but you know, we'll see after this latest update.
Nerds! I want to go through some more of the N features. How about that? Can we do that?
You know where you can't get the N features?
Yes.
All right, go on.
Direct reply notifications and bundled notifications. And we've experienced some of this, and we have bundled notifications already. I mean, direct reply is, if you use Hangouts, you see you can now directly reply to a message in Hangouts from the notifications, right?
Or Google Messenger or a few other apps have done it their own way.
What else does that? I only use Hangouts that has it. But
Google Messenger's had it for a long time.
So they're expanding that. You're going to be able to do even more from the notification area with that. That's going to be cool.
And the nice thing, you hit on the bundling. Of course, we know that, you know, you get 5 emails in Gmail and it bundles them all together. But now, the way that they've gotten rid of the big app icons on the side, so that was a lot of wasted space. And now, so if you have 4 emails from one account, you can use your 2-finger swipe to expand it, and it'll just show more of each email. And then you can expand an individual email and do a reply or an archive or something like that on the individual email and leave the other 3 to be acted on later. So it's giving you even more you can do inside there, so you can go 2 tiers deep. And there are now visual cues with little arrows indicating that it can be expanded. So before, you were kind of just like swiping down on every single notification just to see if it expanded or something. And now you'll know whether or not it can be expanded.
The notifications themselves, just how they look, is probably one of the bigger differences, right?
It's and we so just, clean.
We just really like clean. Them. I'm not sold on
I don't
it yet.
Like
it's just
if, so they're not as, so they used to be, you know, in Marshmallow, they kind of went to this card interface where they were more split up. They had more visual separation of depth and they weren't full width. Now they're just full width. There's a small line between them. There's more information in each, but they're using, like I said, they're using the little arrows and they're using splashes of color from the icon, the app icon, instead of using these big icons that just get in the way. And I mean, to me, I like it. It's a little more information dense and you can do extra interactions, but that's just been one of the huge things of Android is how much you can do just in the notification shade.
It just feels busy to me.
It needs to.
Maybe that'll.
It's a busy place. Notifications are one of those things that they you know we get. We are special because we get 100,000 notifications every day. But
sure,
you know, so it's going to be a little different for us. But yeah, it's an area that needs to be a little busy. Otherwise, you get a mile of notifications. You know, on your tray that you have to sort through if you've you know put it in a drawer for an hour for a meeting or something like that. And this is
The thing. The bundling should help with that. I mean, it seems busy now, but if you can bundle things up better, I mean. Obviously, email is a perfect example, but you know all these other chat apps and things like that where you could get multiple notifications before you get back to the app. It doesn't make sense to have them so separated out.
I think the what gets me is I use the icons. If I'm tooling down the street to buy a cup of coffee and I get an SMS message, I can look real quick. And if it's Phil, I'll answer when I get to it. It's work. If it's my wife who maybe is driving through the snow or something, I'll pull over and take care of it right there. Now I have to read instead of just looking at a glance. I'll adapt, but I hate to adapt.
Right. It is going to more of a text-based interface rather than these big icons.
Yeah. Maybe that's what's bugging me.
Right. I mean, the upside of icons is that they're simplistic. The downside of icons is they're not nearly as descriptive as just having text there.
And there's plenty of room for both. There's a lot of white space there.
And they might well change again.
Yep.
Loads of time. Well,
and the problem with this now is that you know, Gmail and Hangouts are pretty much your only options here because all the other apps are just doing it the same way that they've always done it. It's going to be once they integrate the new bundling that they can do you know more stuff in there.
So
there's that. Projects Doze and Svelte. And it wouldn't surprise me if we get new projects at Google I.O. for people to obsess over. Doze and Svelte, and by the way, I spent most of last night like diving through all these new APIs and stuff and what's going on. So Doze, the big deal is that right now, Doze, if you don't know, when you put your phone down and it's unplugged, it will say, hey, I'm just kind of hanging out here and I'm unplugged. Let's pretty much shut down everything I'm doing. Google Cloud Messenger can still get things through and high priority things can come through.
On a polling interval rather than having all these apps individually pushing and waking up your phone.
Yeah, it's going to wake up every now and then and check for things. But big battery saver. Now the big thing is going to be it's going to look for the screen just being off. So if it's in your pocket or in a purse, that could potentially be a pretty big thing.
That'll be a way to shut that off.
It's going
to
be in multiple stages. It's not going to be. It's not going to be Doze like we know it now, where you turn the screen off and it just immediately drops into that hibernate mode.
Right. No. Yeah, that is not what it's doing.
So there's stage one where it's in your pocket and the screen is off and it just doesn't wake up as often and it tries to schedule things more. And then stage two is like what we have currently when it's sitting and not moving around.
Yeah.
So that's kind of part of the. I mean, it's very similar to the on-body detection for smart lock. You know, it knows that your phone is moving, so you know it can do special things even though the screen is off.
It's getting smarter. Svelte, I thought was really interesting. I learned something here. Apparently, now, if I read this correctly, the way it works is: say you go to take a picture. When you open up the camera app, every other app that you have also says, "Oh, hey, look, the camera's working. That's cool." Like every other app, but
individually,
and that won't happen anymore.
Yep, yeah, that pretty much nails it. You got it right.
I just pictured like a bunch of little gophers sticking their heads up, being like, "Whoa!"
Well, it's not every app. Every app that's listening for a certain event, which is you know, create new picture. If that event is called, every app that's listening for it jumps up and says, "Oh, is this me?" And then they all say, nah, it wasn't me. And they take their time and go back to sleep.
And that's very similar to, I mean, two sides of the same coin with the Doze thing. It's like everybody just gets in line for the system to say, yes, you can do this, rather than every single app individually listening for all these different things, listening for network access, listening for the camera or the microphone or, you know, for you to be in location or something like that, the system can know all these states and then delegate out to which one or which app needs which thing.
And I thought
it was pretty huge.
It's not that developers were doing it wrong. That's just how that particular feature worked. And Google has changed it so it's not stupid anymore.
Because if you had an app that, you know, like a Foursquare that wanted to know where you were to give you recommendations, it had to say, I want to know where you are, you know, at this, you know, on this interval. And that may be just 30 seconds off from another app that wants to know on an interval. And, you know, maybe you could sync those up so it's one request.
Writing apps is hard. We don't realize that when we use them. But every time you open an app on your phone, there is so much work. Even a bad app requires so much work that it's amazing any of them get done. I would say screw it and go cut the grass or something.
Look, every time somebody says, look how easy it is to make apps, and I take, you know, half a day and start learning again, it's like, oh, God, this is really hard. I get there's part easy and easy hard, but wow. We've got some new accessibility features, one of which is a, they called it screen zoom, but it's not actually screen zoom. It's display size.
It's like interface scaling.
You can change. If you take a Nexus 6P and an LG G4 and put them side by side, there is a switch now where you can adjust the screen to make it do that yourself. One, everything on the screen is a lot bigger on the G4 than it is on the Nexus 6P. That's good for a lot of people that have a hard time seeing stuff.
We like to complain about that. I think, didn't Samsung change it up between something recently?
Between when they went last generation, when they went to between the Note 4 and the Note 5, the Note 5 went to a higher density so you could get more on the screen. So it was rather than just making everything bigger. And some people didn't like that because they bought the big screen because they wanted everything to be bigger. And now you can just scale it up.
It's amazing it took this long because that is such, if everybody out there that's rooted their phone and went into the build prop knows just how easy that is to change everything.
And also before, I mean, you were really stuck just increasing the font size, which broke a lot of things, but that was the way that you could read things. This is, I think Phil had a great, you know, a GIF of this where it just showed, you know, chat bubbles in a text message thread just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and scaling appropriately.
Yep. Everything scales, not just the text.
You will also be able to get to some of the accessibility features on first boot. So like when you're going through setup, you don't have to suffer through setup, font size, display size, like we're talking about now.
That's a big thing.
Magnification gesture. Yeah. And that's another one of those. It's like, oh damn, they weren't doing that before.
Yep. It's so
cool.
Yeah. They had an accessibility button in setup, but it wasn't, it obviously didn't have access to something as easy as scaling up the screen. Right. So, you know, that it doesn't help having that button if the features behind it don't do anything that you need.
Android at Work, there's a whole bunch of stuff here, none of which probably most of us are going to have to deal with. Again, this is one of those things that, like, you take your phone to work and your IT company, you know, your IT department's going to handle it and makes things easier for them. But a bunch of new stuff there that's cool to see. And because, again, being able to use your phone with your company's stuff and you being happy with it and them being happy with it, I think that's a really big deal.
So another one was, Alex wrote up the more detailed description of this, but I was super excited about when I saw it was the data saver option, which is, again, it's very similar, kind of ties into the Doze thing where you could turn this on and when the screen is off, you no longer have background mobile data for certain apps or all apps by default.
Are there people who actually want that? Why would you carry your phone and not want it to be smart?
I know a lot of people who turn on airplane mode or turn off cellular data when they're away from Wi-Fi because they don't like having their bill to go up. I mean, and the big thing about this is that you can turn on data saver. Wi-Fi will still always pull data no matter what.
Negative.
It's just,
no.
Yes.
Apparently, and I learned something here.
Isn't it a metered connection?
It is a metered connection, and you can have metered Wi-Fi connections.
By default, it's just turning off your mobile data for background.
When you get a DHCP lease from your router at home, it can identify if it's a metered connection or not. If the phone sees it's a metered connection, it shuts it down.
Sure. So for most people, the meter you care about the most is mobile data.
Yep.
But the thing is that you can, say, turn everything off except give unrestricted access to this app, this app, this app, and this app.
Yeah, you can whitelist apps.
Even if you just want, I mean, you know, you add up all these little apps pinging and you don't care. So maybe you don't care about Facebook having access to mobile data. You only want that to refresh, especially with all the background downloading that it does. You only want that to refresh on Wi-Fi. you could turn this on and turn on every other app to have background data except for Facebook or Google Play Music or something like that. Or maybe you don't, you know, you're worried about Pocket Cast maybe downloading something, you didn't set your filters right. You could say, never use mobile data for that. And it will just never download podcasts over mobile data because, you know, that could be a 100 megabyte mistake and you only have 1 gig a month or something. So I just like the fact that it's being handled at the system level. You can turn it on, you can not turn it on. It just gives a lot more clarity and it's way more useful than just having this current data counter, which just says, you know, every 30 days we'll show you how much data you used and which app used it.
And I'm gonna,
this actually gives you power to do something with that.
I'm going
to
build Jerry YOLO ROM that strips that out.
Well, the nice thing is it's just a toggle, quick settings toggle. Yeah. You turn it on. It's just like turning on the hotspot.
Right. I don't understand it. I would never use it. But you know what? I'm glad it's there for people like Andrew who don't need a smartphone. Let's just buy him a BlackBerry Curve and be done with it.
I mean, I just like the idea. If you're somebody that's, you know, you're on Project Fi and you're immediately aware of how much every single megabyte costs you, if you really want to push it, you can do that. You can turn off mobile data, background mobile data for as many apps as you want.
Russell, you doing okay here? We're starting to get in the weeds a little bit.
No, this is all stuff that, I mean, Andrew's saying all the stuff that I was going to say if he wasn't talking. So I think it's
you take the next one.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing, you know, for it to be there. And I don't think a whole lot of people are going to use it out of the box. But I also think that we are in a weird time, especially here in the U.S., where data monitoring, really, no matter where you are, is a thing that people want to do.
Language and locale. This is one I absolutely take for granted, you know, because I only speak English, and even that's debatable. Couple things here. One is you can have multiple languages selected. And this gets important because of the way applications work. An application will look at your phone and say, hey, this guy is using, the example they used was French. They say, hey, this device is set to use the Swiss localization of French, which I never even thought of, but I guess it makes sense. I get it, Jerry. And if the app didn't have that version, it would try to kick over to a different one and eventually just hit whatever the default is, we'll say English, without even, you know, asking if the user actually speaks English or reads English. So it just gets smarter in the way it handles it, is really what it is. And it gives application developers a better way of doing it.
It can also, if I'm reading it right, it can also handle multiple character sets.
Yeah.
Which is huge in Asia, because from one Asian language to the next, the character sets don't always match up. And if you can use both at the same time, if you're talking in Mandarin and you need to say something in Korean, you no longer have to switch. You can just do it on the fly.
Jerry means typing, of course.
But well, yeah. No, talking. That's talking now. Tap, tap, tap.
That's true. So that's pretty cool. Scoped directories. This is, all right, this one's way nerdy, but the long and the short of Jerry.
You thought I was getting into the weeds.
Yeah. See if I get this right. Previously, if apps all have their own directories, right, and they can get to those, and that's important. But say you have, the example was a photo app. The photo app needs to get something from external storage, which could be an SD card, but it could be, you know, the other parts of storage. Previously, it would just have, technically, it would have access to everything within that storage. Now it's going to be able to say, hey, all I need is the pictures folder. All I need is, you know, DCIM to get stuff out of your, that you've taken pictures of with the camera, stuff like that. So it's really more focused. It's safer. It's cleaner code.
Yep. Somebody needs to make Phil a nerd badge and send it to him because
he needs a gold star.
It was only up to 1 a.m.
But yeah, that's my biggest problem with the using SD cards on phones have been how the way it has to be handled because formatting and permissions and partitions. This is how you fix that. It's taken longer, but this is better. This is a lot better. I don't want Instagram to be able to see the data that I'm saving with another app. I only want it to see my pictures.
Now, here is a question that we're going to get asked at some point. Do you think this is why we didn't get such participation with adaptable storage?
No, I think that's just companies being stupid.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll shut up then.
No, I'm not sure of anything. I'm just here.
You played it off well.
It just seems like this is a, you know, this is kind of a good final thought for that. Or maybe just a more complete thought for it.
And we'll never know. But the flip side is they ignored it in Lollipop and tried to do their own thing. They ignored it in Marshmallow and tried to do their own thing. They're probably going to ignore it in Android N and try to do their own thing too.
Well, that's not what I wanted to hear, but okay.
LG and Samsung's sole purpose is to serve their users, make their users happy, make their users look at their brand the next time they want to spend money.
Can't really blame them for
no,
that.
No, that's how business works. So if they have to, you know, if they think their market research tells them, you know what, the way Google does this is just dumb as hell, let's do it our way, that's what they do. And that's what they should do, even if nerds like me don't like it.
Couple more things, and I want to take one more quick break, and we are going to get to the Q&A. We got a lot of good questions in there. You guys hanging around. I promise we're going to get to them. A couple things for TV, picture-in-picture and TV recording. Those are both kind of self-explanatory a little bit. We kind of have picture-in-picture now with YouTube, right, Russell?
Sort of. Not really. I mean, what we're going to see with this is actual, you know, different video streams from different apps that are going to be able to do picture-in-picture and hopefully on top of live TV. And the way that they're spelling out the recording thing makes it sound like we're going to see an Android TV DVR, which would make me super happy. Because the one thing that I've wanted from Android TV since the moment it was discussed was HD or TV pass-through. You know, give me some kind of HDMI pass-through or, you know, just let me straight up plug a cable box into it. And that sounds like what we're getting here, which makes me super happy.
And some FCC rulings make that. You know, the reason that Google TV failed may have been fixed slightly. I expect I'm going to be beside Russell and be playing with the TiVo.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. It's going to be great. Yeah.
And I'll be drinking your beer, eating your potato chips, messing up your remote.
Let me tell you something. Like, the TiVo guys have been, like, really crushing it over the last year trying to improve their interface because they knew that stuff like this was coming. You know, and nobody else really is moving at the same pace. So I think, you know, nerds like me who care about that kind of stuff, this coming year is going to be really interesting for that kind of thing.
Jerry, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to explain Java. Done. Okay. Thank you.
the worst part is the people that need to know already know, but it's Java is a language you use to write applications. It improves year after year. Google is now tracking that better. They will include a way for developers to use these new features of the Java programming language when they build apps for Android. It will improve development times. It'll improve the time it takes to install apps, reinstall apps, recompile against the code to create bytecode when you upgrade. It just makes everything better.
That was a good explanation, actually. I think that's it for the features. I mean, once again, we kind of can't stress enough. Developer preview. I'm not a developer. Most of you out there probably aren't developers.
As Jerry says, it's right there on the tin. Know what you're getting into there.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, have fun with it if you want. The good news is it's pretty easy to get in and out of. All you have to do is unenroll if you do the OTA thing. And then
wipe
get
your phone.
Yeah, it will wipe your phone, so be aware of that. But, I mean, it's still pretty simple to do. So, again, long slog. We've got months of this to go, boys and girls. So hang in there. I tell you what, let's take one more quick break. When we come back, Q&A. Q&A?
Q&A.
We're all expected to do more in 2016 with less money, but especially IT departments. And that includes the really important stuff like stopping spam and virus attacks. End-of-life announcements for trusted hardware and software options make these decisions more difficult. First Postini went away, now MX Logic. Well, who can you trust to do the job well and actually stick around? We'll try MailRoot. MailRoot will protect your email and your hardware against spam, viruses, and other attacks. There's no hardware or software to install. If you own your domain, that's all you need to use MailRoot. MailRoot's team has focused exclusively on email protection since 1997. Some of you might not even been born yet. Their interface is easy to use and loaded with admin tools, including an API, and it's all designed to make your life spam-free. Right now, MailRoot is offering price matching for McAfee and MX Logic customers. So stop spam today with a free 30-day trial of MailRoot. Just go to mailroot.net, that's mailroote.net/android, or email sales@mailroot.net. Our listeners get 10% off for the lifetime of their account. MailRoot protects your email from spam and viruses. That's it. That's all they do. And they do it better, and they've been doing it longer than anyone else. Again, that's mailroot.net/android. All right, Q&A, you ready? Joey Riz is up top. Are any of the guys using the MAC19i for the 6P? All right, so those are the new builds, right?
Yeah.
The new fancy ones. I was. I had it on the 5X for like a day.
I just got it on the 5X earlier today, so haven't had a chance to use it beyond, you know, 5 minutes.
I don't think I've updated my 6P yet, now that I think about it.
But he's right. You need to put that into perspective, that this is the bigger story, you know, for people right now using phones than installing Android N that's janky and broken.
And I'll go back to what I said earlier. No, it's not on my 6P because I use Project Fi and I need this phone to work every time. I'll wait until somebody tells me it works with Project Fi before I manually go fetch it.
Oh, yeah, I just waited for the OTA on my 5X.
I've been doing it.
It showed up the next day.
Yeah, but I don't feel you do anything, man.
I know. I break things.
Because Jerry and I have had situations already where Fi craps out when you try to flash an image.
We live through Fi on the Nexus 6, so we are cautious can be.
I'm also very much enjoying the GS7, so I've been using that instead of the Nexus 6P. Hey, Jerry, you got to see the Nexus or the GS7 finally this past week. Yeah. What'd you think?
It's a nice phone until you turn it on.
Oh
no! It is. Look, guys.
I love the size. The size is really what's doing it for me.
The software on it is not for me, but that doesn't mean I can't appreciate it. And Samsung gets better with software every year, and they have nailed the hardware.
Yeah.
The Galaxy S6 Edge, I think, was the most beautiful device ever made. The Galaxy S7 rides right along with it. It's gorgeous. You know what impressed me the most? It's AMOLED, but if I turn it into a white screen and hold the phone sideways, I've got almost 180 degrees viewing and can still read the text.
It's really good. It's
amazing.
Doug Fry asks, when will they fix cross-device notifications? I'm tired of dealing with notifications on
remember
two devices.
Remember when that was a feature that was coming?
Oh, I mean, I deal with this every morning, too. And I've got reminders. That's the other one. I take a pill every morning and have to dismiss it on like every device.
They're not going to be able to. And it's
why?
Because
why, Jerry?
If they told you what software you're allowed to download and install from their store and you're not allowed to do anything else, and then they told the developers you will implement this way 100% of the time or we won't put your file in our store, then it would happen. Android's open. You have different developers doing different things, not doing the things Google thinks they should do. And when you try to put all that together, it just doesn't work.
Brent asked about the in preview for the Nexus 5. Nope, sorry. Tell us again why, Russell.
Because it's garbage.
Stop it. Russell@androidcentral.com. See if I say this right, Bluian? Hope I got that right. Do you think Google will sort Bluetooth in? My experience in the Nexus 6P is the worst I've ever experienced on a phone. Man, I don't know. I've used so many bad phones good phones with bad Bluetooth.
Everybody
stacks.
Has so many problems with Bluetooth on every phone.
Because every single thing that is using Bluetooth to connect is running a different version of Bluetooth. Google is going the open route, and they've got an open Bluetooth stack that is not quite as robust. But, you know, whatever you're connecting it to, let's say Toyota, for example, is using the Bluetooth that they want with different features and different ways to communicate. And until Android phones reach the point where you go in your car and on your radio it says made for Android, and it will, you know, they'll go through the testing to make sure it connects like they do for an iPhone, you're going to have issues.
Victor asks, curious news that HTC and Google partnership, will we get Nexus branded devices with expandable memory considering Inner Marshmallow? I don't know anything about news with HTC and Google. I know there are rumors that HTC has signed a 3-year Nexus deal with Google, which might very well be true, but I have no idea.
If it's true, it's counter to everything Google has ever done with the Nexus program. The Nexus program has always been a bidding war. Whichever company has the best hardware at the best price gets to be a Nexus that year.
I hope we don't get three more Nexus 9s.
If it brought me a phone called the HTC One Nexus One, I would be all over it. If we can make that happen, I'd be okay with it.
We need to not ever have that name happen, but
no, it has to be named that.
I'm gonna lean back on what I said last year that got Jerry all excited. I want an Intel powered BlackBerry Nexus.
Hey,
Jeff says I'm thinking of switching from Verizon to Fi. Any thoughts or comments? I'd say just get. I mean,
you have to. It's a very personal decision on how much you're paying on Verizon. Do you have a family plan? Where, you know, does T-Mobile and Sprint work where you want to be? Do you want to use a Nexus 6P or Nexus 5X? Do you have one of those phones already?
Yeah, if you already have one of those phones, it's kind of a no-brainer.
It's pretty easy to try.
This month, go to T-Mobile and buy a $30 SIM card and try it for a month.
That's true.
Fi loves to default to T-Mobile even with a good Sprint signal. If you can live off T-Mobile prepaid, if it does everything you need it to do, heck yeah, go for it. You might save some money.
Lars said that 6 Edge Plus just got 601.
Hey, awesome. Cool. See, I'm sure you're international somewhere.
Alex got it. Alex got it put it on there manually a few days ago when it started being available in Europe.
Oh, that was so much fun. We were together racing to see who was going to get it first between my Note 5 and his 6 Edge Plus.
And then he came over and said, oh, wow, look at all this cool software. I was like, yeah, I'm using a Galaxy S7. I know.
Yeah, that's not far from the truth, actually. Penny asked, were we both holding up a Nexus 5X when we were showing the multi-window?
No, Nexus 6, the big one.
I don't know why I didn't think to put it on my Nexus 6, but yeah.
Want to use two things at once.
Do I even have a Nexus 6?
Then you have to use that phone, so
no. I broke the USB port on my Nexus 6 yesterday.
Really?
Yep, Motorola, if you're out there and want to send me the little part, I can solder it on.
Mia has killed the USB port on our Nexus 7 on the 2014? What year?
Time to hand her that battle thrashed Nexus 9.
Oh, give her a handful of Nexus 5s out of Russell's garbage.
Scotch tape them together.
That tablet does wireless charging. You shouldn't have had to use the USB port anyway.
We do, but it's easier for me to flash the security updates first thing when that works.
Oh.
Well, your daughter's not flashing her own security updates? Come on.
Savage. I know, right?
Victor says, I need to replace my mother's phone. What is an unlocked phone sub-$200 that would be worth considering?
Moto G, and I hate it.
I was just about to say Moto G.
What about that Alcatel that just came out? When does that launch?
Under 200, though.
That's over 200.
Oh, right. Never mind.
I would say look at an Idol 3.
Yeah, that might be.
Maybe, yeah.
Or a Zenfone 2.
But I don't know what Motorola is doing, and there's that whole update mess, but I think to a man, every one of us can say that a Moto G is the fastest phone that you will ever freaking try, and it's because it's not doing a lot. And
it's $180.
Yep.
And it might or might not get updated.
Yep. That's sad.
I tell you, I mean, Motorola was excited for things to come this year when I talked to him at MWC.
So. Well, it's good someone is.
One more from Dan. No question, just a thank you for helping me pull the trigger on a Nexus 6P. Big step up from the Galaxy S5. Yeah.
That is
Nexus 6P for life.
Which one, Jerry? Gold. Which
gold.
One?
Gold Nexus is best Nexus.
Who gave you the gold Nexus, Jerry?
Jesus or Alex.
Actually, It originally came from me, but okay.
Well, I didn't have to get you drunk and talk you out of it. That was Alex.
No, I was totally willing.
Because you just don't appreciate the finer things in life.
Gold is best.
All right. I think that is going to do it for us this week. Some important, super exciting news that is also important.
But is it exciting?
We now have search in the Android Central app.
Nice.
And it works. Don't hate me, Phil. It works way better than I thought it ever would.
It works pretty well. It's not perfect yet. I actually just uploaded a new build while we were podcasting. So it's in beta right now. Probably I'll Yeah, I'm thinking by Monday, maybe I'll push it out to everybody. I just want to make sure it's not, you know, really breaking anything for anyone. It's not perfect.
Definitely search news and forums.
Yes, searches news and forums and individual threads, I think. Yeah, news, threads, yeah,
threads
and posts.
Or individual posts.
Yeah. So it's taking a little while for stories to show up in there, I think. So we got to tweak that some more. But finally.
But the nice thing is, you know, it'll catch something that you might have missed yesterday or 2 days ago, you know, that you're searching for. Because, you know, the other stuff is going to be a quick scroll away on the first page.
It's a big deal. Mike Wolfson, the developer, we've had Mike on before. Yeah, so he's been working his butt off on that, and that's awesome. We still got more to do with the app, but that is great to see. Thank you, Mike. If you haven't used it yet, just go to Google Play and search for Android Central app. It's the one with a million downloads.
Woo!
Yay! But that is awesome to see. I'm so happy for that. Any other big exciting news? We are back to normal kind of for the foreseeable future. I don't have anything scheduled. We've got the Samsung Developer Conference at the end of April. Google I.O. is at the end of May. Tickets, I think, was today the last day to try to register for tickets? I think
yes.
It might have been.
Yeah, it was 8, 9, 10, I think.
So hopefully we'll find out who all gets into that. I'll be there. Jerry will be there.
If you're in D.C., there's the Android Barbecue Guys Idea Meet and Greet.
Yep.
What is that?
The DC Code Kitchen.
Yep. What is that?
It is a place where you can learn.
When?
I thought you said where. I'll have to look. Russell, isn't it the 7th?
April 7th, yeah.
Yeah, April 7th.
All right, so we got time. Cool.
Russell and I will be there. That's our backyard.
Fly up for it.
We didn't do any emails or voicemails this week. We will get caught back up on that. So if you want to, podcast@androidcentral.com. Love getting your voicemails. We need to pick that back up and get back on that horse.
Send your voicemails about the Nexus 5 to Russell@androidcentral.com. Record them on your Nexus 5,
in
please.
Blood.
Thank you.
Oh, man. So, yeah, podcast@androidcentral.com. Anything else for the good of the cause?
Good.
Going once, going twice.
420 root it, y'all.
Andrew, Jerry, Russell, thank you guys. Everybody at home, thank you. Everybody listening later, thank you. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Adios.